Welcome to Safety School, where we crunch down health, safety and environment learning into simple bite-sized snippets that you can use for your business or your career, helping you improve your knowledge, boost your performance and maybe even providing some inspiration. Let's get started. In this episode of Safety School, we're going to look at COSH and COSH assessment. We're going to look at five steps that you can walk through to help you manage the risk from hazardous substances in your business. So COSH itself, if you don't already know what that is, in basic terms, it is a law within the UK that requires employers to control substances that are hazardous to health and, you know, prevent and reduce the amount of exposure and harm that can come from them to anybody that could be affected. You have to remember here that the hazards and risks that the substances themselves that are labelled as hazardous present aren't the only ones that you have to worry about here, so that's something to be aware of. You will get information, I'm sure, within your trade or industry, wherever it is you work within, and you can reference some of that information on the HSE's website itself, so we'd advise you to take a look at that in collaboration with listening to this podcast. Just before we fire ahead with this episode, I wanted to take this quick opportunity to let you know about the free risk assessment video training course that's now available over at safety.com. The course was created by ourselves, chartered health and safety professionals, and you can join thousands of other students around the world in taking advantage of this amazing resource completely free. You can find it very easily, we hope, by visiting safety.com and clicking on the course tab in the top right hand corner, and we really look forward to hearing your feedback on the course. Oh, and one more thing, if you are looking for professional health and safety templates, real life examples and guidance, I'm excited to let you know that you can now visit Safety's online shop over at safety.com, where our only aim is to help you accelerate your health and safety performance in your business. Okay, now let's get back to it. As ever, we really appreciate your support. Now let's get back to the podcast. So we'll go through the steps here, and the first one is to take a walk around your workplace and really just look and take an overview of where the potential for exposure to substances might be. So what type of things are we actually looking for here when we're talking about identifying substances that might be hazardous to health? Well, there's, as you can imagine, a great variation and spectrum of different things that might impact people's health here. But in health and safety, there's a few that we refer to that kind of open up different types or different ways that these elements can cause harm. So as examples of some of the forms that these hazardous substances can take, the most obvious ones are, you know, liquids and solids that you would come up against. But once they begin to be processed, then they take many different forms. I'll give you a few examples of these just at a very high level. We'll not go into detail on them, but the first one would be dusts. An example of that would be silicate dust or dust from concrete. So if you're doing cutting within a construction environment, you could be producing that dust that causes respiratory issues and is a very serious hazard to the human lungs, for example. The next one then would be fumes. So an example of that would be if you're using soldering processes within your manufacturing environment, typically you would have some sort of ventilation or a fume hood, for example, to extract the fumes. But those fumes, if inhaled, typically would present a hazard again to human health in the form of a respiratory risk. Next up then are vapors. If you're asking what vapors are, well, if you think about using glues or solvents, and that could be at home or within the business environment, those are the type of things that produce a vapor. And if you inhale that vapor from a solvent, such as if you're using acetone for degreasing, for example, that can cause harm. Lastly then we have gases. Most of us probably are using some type of gas. If you're working in either construction, manufacturing or anything like that, then you could have something as typical as natural gas used for heating, so your gas boiler, which itself of course presents risks, but also within the production processes, you may be using gas for burning, compressed gas as part of your production process, which is, you know, compressed gas is used for a multitude of things within the production environment. So that's something, again, to look out for. Okay, so by the end of that first step, you'll hopefully be in a position where you're quite confident that you've identified all the substances that may be hazardous to health within your work environment. Moving on to the second step then, that's really just building upon what we were talking about before, looking at the safety data sheets and detailing in what way the substances could potentially harm health of those that are using them or those that are going to be exposed to them. So the safety data sheets themselves, they can be quite technical. So what I would suggest is, you know, make sure you're getting someone to either help you, or if you, you know, if you have the level of technical understanding yourself to do it, then that's obviously fine. But just make sure that they're being interpreted properly. And they will give you lots of useful information, such as the recommended protective, personal protective equipment or PPE that you might need to use, storage advice for the chemicals. One of the big things to look out for within the safety data sheets, which is the information that the manufacturer of the substance or the hazardous chemical will provide to you, or should be available via their website if you don't have a physical copy of it, or you, of course, you can request it directly from them. You will be given, on particular hazardous substances, workplace exposure limits. For substances that are known to cause or present an issue to workers or employees or anyone exposed to the substance, then workplace exposure limits are usually detailed within the SDS, and that gives you a measure of what's acceptable to expose people to without any risk. So depending on the risk profile of your process, you may actually need to carry out a quantitative measurement of the level of exposure that's actually occurring, and that's sometimes referred to as an industrial hygiene assessment. Normally, what we would do in these circumstances, if there is something being used that has workplace exposure limit, we would usually do a qualitative assessment. So look at all the information around the process and the controls that are in place. Does it look as if the workplace exposure limits are going to be exceeded? And if it's significant risk that this is going to be the case, then there's a good chance that you're going to have to do some sort of quantitative measurement or look at removing that substance from the process or do something, you know, quite significant to control it. Do be aware though, there are some substances that arise from processes just as a result of different substances being mixed, and of course there won't be any data sheet for that. Or if you're doing research and development, for example, there may be byproducts that are produced as part of your processes that could potentially be harmful. So that's when, you know, you're going to need a better level of expertise there, a chemist or someone with the technical understanding of what impacts there will be when certain processes are carried out. Once you've taken a good look through all the SDSs, or for the solid objects, the material safety data sheets or MSDSs, then you will have hopefully a good bank of information around how those particular substances could potentially harm people within your work environment. And then really the next step is really about relating that to the jobs or tasks that you're doing within your workplace that may lead to exposure. At this stage, you're going to really want to gather all of your existing information that you have on your activities within your workplace. So risk assessments, method statements, or anything of that nature. Of course, you might need to speak to the people on the ground that are carrying out these processes to gather information if there's anything missing. And really just start recording what control measures you're already using and start to match those up with what you've found in your investigation when looking at the actual substances. And then you'll be able to ask, are these control measures that you have in place sufficient? Have you taken into consideration the risk from the chemicals or substances that you've reviewed? And you may need to get operators or engineers or the people that designed the processes or work involved in the discussion to just flesh out exactly how the work is being done and to get the facts. You may want to begin this part of the process as a desktop exercise, and then once you've gathered the relevant information and matched up the substances with the activities, then you should be able to look at you know, what the control measures are, start to, you know, decide, are these sufficient? The last part of gathering the information, and what I would say really is to do this before you would go out on the ground to speak to people who are carrying out the processes, is review any accident incidents, near misses or concern reports that you have surrounding hazardous substances on your site. And of course, you'll want to include any direct or suspected ill health reports that have, you know, that have occurred or been affected by these work activities or any of the substances of concern. Hopefully you have decent records of any low-level first aid events or concerns that have been reported. They will really help to inform you on what is happening on the ground before you go out to speak to people. And of course, you can try and line up and join up the dots with all the information that you have then. And that puts you in a good position to perform and record your cost assessment. The last step then is just to record and review the information. So of course you'll want to make any updates to all your information from what you've found, because once you've done these assessments, you may have uncovered some issues that previously weren't known or certainly weren't addressed. There is no one correct way to record your cost assessments as such. You may want to keep your cost assessments for each substance as a standalone document or link them to the relevant risk assessments or work processes, depending on how your management system or your business operates. But one thing that is, you know, for sure is that it should be very clear as to which hazardous substances that you use, how you use them within your work activities, and what way the risk of harm is controlled. One last important thing I'd like to leave you with on this is, no matter what way you set your system up or what way you present your information, just to make sure that the relevant updated information is easily accessible and available to those that need it at all times. That's it for this episode of Safety School. We hope this was helpful. If so, please remember to rate, review and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Google Podcasts or Spotify. And remember, for more health, safety and environment help, you can visit us at safety.com. Until next time, take care.